And now, get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Vic and Fade.
Vic and Fade, written by Paul Reimer, is brought to you each weekday by Procter & Gamble, the makers of the new Sure Mix Crisco. You know, I guess it's just human nature to like to do the things you can do well and sort of steer clear of the things you're not very good at.
Like making pies, for instance. Some of you don't like to make pies because, well, you can't count on the pie crust being tender and flaky. Well, listen, you needn't put pies on your can't-do list any longer. No, ma'am, because the Crisco people have developed an amazing new pastry method that's guaranteed to give you tender, flaky pie crust every time. Why, not in a generation has there been such a revolutionary improvement in the art of making pies. Just imagine being able to turn out that melt-in-your-mouth kind of pie crust every time. But you see, there's a secret for tender, flaky pie crust right in Crisco that you won't find in another shortening you can buy. Why, with Crisco and this wonderful new Crisco method, you'll be making pies every day just to show how good you are. Why not start out with an apple pie today? A spicy apple pie with a crust so flaky, so tender and digestible, it melts in your mouth. And you can make pie crust like that if you'll follow the directions on the Crisco label. Yes, we've printed Crisco's new guaranteed pastry method right on the label of the Crisco can. Look for the red arrow. Now remember, if you use Crisco and follow Crisco's new method exactly, we guarantee you tender, flaky pie crust every time. If you aren't satisfied, write us on the back of a Crisco label telling in what way the pie crust was unsatisfactory. Tell us what you paid for your Crisco, and we'll refund the price of 1 pound. Address Crisco, Box 837, Cincinnati, Ohio. So get Crisco today, won't you? There's a secret for tender, flaky pie crust right in Crisco, and Crisco's guaranteed pastry method right on the label of the Crisco can. Well, sir, it's early evening as our scene opens now, and here on the front porch of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mr. Victor Gook all by himself. Mr. Gook is swinging gently in the swing, casually examining the newspaper for stray bits of intelligence he may have missed during the initial reading before supper. And at this moment, Sade appears around the corner of the house. Listen.
Hey, this grass seed isn't taking a hold in some places.
Oh, there, Sadie. Disturb not my dream.
Hi.
Why are you wandering around the yard in that vagabond fashion?
Just seeing how stuff is growing.
Come up and sit down by my side.
I thought Rush was here with you.
Rush come out the door like a tornado and beat it up the street.
No, he must have beat it up to Lucas Johnson's house. Nancy Scott and Vernon Peckles are both there. Never stopped to tell you about the big excitement, huh?
Yeah, he would.
Well, he will when he gets back.
What's the big excitement?
The boys are going to accumulate scrap.
Scrap?
Old iron, tin, brass, lead, steel, and like that. Paper, rags, rubber, wire, and so forth.
Oh, for the war?
Yes, and it's a real good thing. Everybody's got trash cluttering up their house the government can use, and Rush and the boys plan on...
Excuse me, I believe I discern Rush approaching.
Yeah.
His step is elastic.
Oh, he's excited about this. He's the chairman of the board. Him and Neisser and Bluetooth and Vernon have organized a big, elaborate organization with a fancy, highfalutin name.
What is it?
The Virginia Avenue Area Sons of Patriotism Salvage Indemnity.
Hey, hey.
It is a real good thing. Rush was telling me...
Is there Rooster Davis or Smelly Clark or Leland Richards or Milton Walsh or Willis Roybank telephone lines?
Nobody telephones.
Good. See?
Yeah.
Did either White White Flirt or former Hugh McDancy or Steve Chestbudget or Charlie Razorscum or Harry Pfaff or Gus Fuss or Fred Stembottom or Richigan Fisherton or Al Fusherton or Y.I.I.Y. Skeever or H.K. Skeever...
Make it fun of me, Olga.
Yes.
Mom tell you about the new project?
She started to.
Me and Bluetooth and Vernon and Neisser are going to get into it up to our ears.
How's it happen you're trafficking with Neisser? I was under the impression you and Neisser were sworn enemies.
We are, but we've called a truce for the duration.
Oh.
See, the scrap salvage business was maybe 14 or 15% his idea. Out of fairness, we had to include him in the organization. However, I am keeping a little black book.
How you mean, Willie?
Neisser and myself have declared a truce for the duration, but people's natures don't change, and... Neisser Scott is just as miserable a scoundrel as he ever was. I'm keeping a little black book where I make a mark every time he requires a paste upside the snoot. Why, doggone it, I just got through spending 20 minutes with Neisser. And you know how many marks I was forced to put down in my little black book?
How many?
Nine.
He's got nine paste upside the snoot coming?
Yes, the minute the war's over. Well, my gosh.
All right. Tell Gav about the Virginia Avenue area. Whatchamacallit?
The Virginia Avenue area Sons of Patriotism Salvage Indemnity.
Indemnity?
Uh-huh.
I don't think the term is used in that sense.
Suits us, guys. Got kind of a fancy swing to it. The Virginia Avenue area, Sons of Patriotism, Salvage Indemnity.
You collect old metal, huh, for national defense?
Yeah, And you'd be astonished at what the government is anxious to get a hold of. Doorknobs, hinges, keys, locks, knives, scissors, ashtrays, roller skates, stove pokers, screwdrivers, faucets, sinks, pliers, hose, pickaxes. Well, I could run along half an hour.
You collect all that from the people in the neighborhood here and send it to the government?
No, you don't send it to the government. The government's got no way to handle it. We collect the scrap and sell it to the junkman.
Well, what's he do with it?
Sells it to manufacturers.
Oh.
You can either dispose of your scrap through a junkman, or you can donate it to a collection bureau downtown. Us guys prefer to deal with the junkman.
Isn't that kind of mixing up financial gain with your patriotism?
I don't know as it is, Gov. Realizing a profit is something of an incentive. Of course, patriotism is a great big incentive in itself, but making some money on top of that just adds to the incentive.
Yes, that's true.
I'm greatly pleased with the setup.
Uh-huh.
Seems to me, Annabelle, that people would prefer to sell their own scrap if there's a profit in it.
Well, yes, lots of people will. Those that have a lot of stuff laying around. But the government advises you not to call your junk dealer till you got 100 pounds accumulated. I doubt if very many ladies in this neighborhood got that much, eh, Mom?
No, probably not.
Most everybody's got some little knick-knack cluttering up their attic or cellar. Trash they hesitate to throw away, and yet trash they wish they didn't have to give house room to. That kind of scrap they'll hand over quick as a wink, glad to get rid of it. And feeling good because they know they're taking part in something.
Uh-huh.
And the darndest rubbish the government wants to get a hold of. Rubber heels, overshoes, tennis slippers, hot water bottles, bathing caps. Gosh, the list is a mile long. An individual don't want to burn or destroy a single article.
Government want paper?
Sure. Do you know how much scrap paper is required to make containers for shells?
No.
100 pounds. Do you know how much scrap paper was used to pack the cans of canned tomatoes the Army bought last year?
100 pounds.
20,000 pounds of scrap paper was required.
Where did you get all your information, Rush?
Mr. Chinbunny gave quite a speech in assembly this morning.
Huh.
Well, I can whip out facts and figures by the bushel.
Reason I inquired about paper, Vic.
Uh-huh.
The monstrous great big piles of magazines you got down cellar.
Those monstrous big piles of magazines should remain down cellar.
But they take up so much space I could use. Makes me mad every time I look at them. In the fruit room, there's that horrible, enormous stack of kitchenware dealers' quarterlies, and in the furnace room, there's that awful, tremendous pile of Lodge magazines. Is there any sense in cherishing them and letting them keep up high every year?
No, I guess not. I can part with them without a qualm at a time like this.
Hey, there's that fine nicer Scott. Ain't he that dandy half-witted lame brain strutting around eating a hunk of bread with jelly on it?
Just the sight of him makes you mad, huh?
Just the sight of him makes me feel like putting down another mark in my little black book.
Paste upside the snoot, eh?
Paste upside the snoot.
How did he earn all those paste upside the snoot that you recorded in your little black book this evening?
Various outrageous statements he made.
Hmm.
He would tell me how intense his family is when they get into something.
Uh-huh.
My Uncle Ralph, he said, fell in love with an Ohio lady. He told this Ohio lady he was so insane about her, he'd go so far as to disown his grandfather. And he done it. At a ceremony held in Hoffman City, Oklahoma, he publicly disowned his grandfather, who died of grief 20 minutes later.
Okay.
Nicer Scott earned himself a mark in my little black book for that excellent story.
Mm.
He earned himself another peachy mark by describing how patriotic his Uncle Harry is.
How patriotic is his Uncle Harry?
Here's how patriotic his Uncle Harry is.
Uh-huh.
That nitwit ox.
How patriotic is Nicer's Uncle Harry?
Well, sir, according to Nicer, his Uncle Harry owns the Central Indiana and Midwest Railroad.
Never heard of it.
No, and neither did anybody else.
How patriotic is Nicer's Uncle Harry?
He's so patriotic, he tore up his railroad. Went out on the tracks in person with a pick and shovel, removed all the rails, and gave them to the government. Also, he gave the government all his locomotives and tools. All in all, he gave the government 10,000 miles of track, 46 locomotives, and 19 switch engines.
That's pretty patriotic.
Isn't it, though? Of course, there was one bad feature, according to NYSER.
What is that?
The Central Indiana and Midwest Railroad ran into Indianapolis before Uncle Harry tore it up. Now Indianapolis is cut off from outside civilization. People can't take a train in or take a train out. Indianapolis is doomed, says NYSER. Indianapolis has no railroad facilities. Indianapolis will dwindle from a great thriving city to a little village at the side of the road.
All because of Uncle Harry's patriotism.
Yes. I give NYSER 2 marks in my little black book for that fine true story.
Mm.
Look at him over there, choking down bread with jelly on it.
Mm.
When are you boys going to start accumulating your scrap, Willie?
Right away. Government wants it quick. They need it. Need it bad. That's going to be part of the work of the Virginia Avenue area Sons of Patriotism Salvage Indemnity. To get people to realize this is urgent. Convince them they shouldn't throw anything away.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go over this neighborhood with a fine-tooth comb. We'll get old alarm clocks, bicycle tires, rakes, shovels, pots, pans, springs, bowls, stovepipes, chains, everything.
Uh-huh.
And we know the ladies will be glad to come across.
Well, I think they will.
Well, Gunnar, you think about it a second, you understand they'll be overjoyed to come across.
Uh-huh.
We don't care particularly if they give us their scrap or not. They can take it downtown to the collection bureau, or they can call for their own junk man. Just so they dig it up out of their cellars and attics and start it moving.
Yes.
I was talking with a fella down at the office the other day that was telling me...
Mosquito. Stuck me with his needle good.
I was talking with a fella down at the office the other day...
Now look at Major Scott.
What's he doing?
Tying his shoe.
You're not going to give him a mark in your book just for that.
Sure I am.
Going to face him upside the snoot for just tying his shoe?
Sure.
It's a strange world.
Well, tell me the name of your organization again, Willie. I want to have it straight to tell people.
The Virginia Avenue Area Sons of Patriotism, Salvage, Indemnity.
The Virginia Avenue Area Sons of Patriotism, Salvage, Indemnity.
That's right.
That's nice.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. Say, tell me, does your family kind of go for fried chicken? Hmm? Sizzling, crisp, golden brown Crisco fried chicken? Oh, I'll bet they do. Fried chicken is tantalizing to anybody's appetite. And you know, Crisco has a new way for you to fix it, too. Yep, listen. Try adding quite a lot of poultry seasoning to the flour you roll your chicken in. Mmm, boy, what flavor. And that Crisco fried chicken is so digestible, too. You see, Crisco is a digestible shortening. Sure it is. Why, in answer to a question sent doctors by a leading medical publication, 2 out of every 3 doctors who replied specifically called attention to Crisco's digestibility. So try Crisco. This pure all vegetable shortening costs you less than 2 cents a day for all your fries. And remember, Crisco is a snowy white shortening that stays fresh and sweet smelling down to the very last spoonful. It has no strong taste, no unpleasant shortening odor to spoil the good natural flavor of food you fry. Is that true of the shortening you're using now? Think it over. And don't forget to listen to Crisco's Vic and Save the next time. This is Ed Roberts speaking.
This program came from Chicago. This is the National Broadcasting Company.